Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the DINFOS Way, a Department of Defense podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at DINFOS. Today's conversation is part of a new series of episodes designed to accompany our regular monthly entries. These episodes will focus on the incredibly talented instructors we have here at DINFOS, their teaching techniques, strategies, and tips, and information about the courses they teach for prospective students or interested learners. Joining us in the studio today to do exactly that is Staff Sergeant Laura Martin.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sergeant Martin. Throughout your 17-year career, you have served in a variety of positions, from radio DJ to broadcast producer and the face of the Army for your monthly TV show, SITREP. Luckily, you currently serve here with us as the Intermediate Multimedia Course Military Instructor. As an IMMC instructor, Martin is responsible for teaching students the advanced knowledge and skills they need to perform the documentation of training and operations, public affairs, joint operations, and studio missions throughout the Joint Armed Forces. Sergeant Martin's students create products that incorporate advanced video, lighting, audio, and motions graphics design elements into both non-narrative and narrative formats to become some of the most elite producers in the field. Basically, they get to play with all the cool toys we have in the building, and whenever I see you, I am very jealous because I don't get to play with all that cool stuff. So, Sergeant Martin, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
So happy to be here.
I'm really excited whenever I see you guys in the building. Your students look really excited to be playing with all the cool toys. They get the sliders. They get to play with all of the, fun electronics and technology that we have here in the building. And it just looks really exciting every time I see you. So how exciting is the IMMC course? What's it like to be part of it?
I honestly feel, and I might be a little biased here, but I believe that IMMC is the best course in this building. It is the most fun. The students get to have the latest technology, which is always exciting. Exciting to them, new toys, right? We play with sliders, with jibs, with the track and dolly system. I mean, with gimbals, we are out there. We're trying to make them the absolute cream of the crop. And a lot of them use the videos that they produce in this course to also apply for the Syracuse course where they can continue that education in film.
That's really great. Before we get into more of that, tell me a little bit about your career and how you got to DINFOS here.
Of course. Well, I've been blessed to have an amazing career in the Army. I started out as a broadcast producer at a PAD at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. And from there, I went to AFN Italy, where I was the all-Europe morning DJ, Martin in the Morning, which was so much fun, getting paid to play music.
And yeah, I loved it.
I mean,
so great.
It's almost like a dream. You can't even imagine that you get paid to do those things. From there, I went to DMA, where I was the face of the Army for 3 years for my show SITREP. I produced stories for Big Army there. And I went to Fort Shafter, Hawaii to produce content for USERPAC, which then led me here. I started out for 2 years as an MCF instructor until I was afforded the opportunity to move over to IMMC and have some real fun.
Yeah. So tell me more about the IMMC course. What's it designed to do? Some of the basics about it and kind of what you teach students, just for anybody who doesn't know what we're really talking about.
Well, for IMMC, for those who are not familiar with the course, it's basically the next level of video. I like to say it's like short form documentary, right? They're not just learning to do a video on a person that, you know, is doing something interesting. They're actually learning how to incorporate video skills to get into their lives, like you would see on a documentary for Netflix, Amazon, things like that. It really takes their videos to the next level. I think the difference between a video and the short form documentary that they learn is that they're becoming more advanced storytellers. They're learning the advanced editing, audio shooting, camera techniques, graphics, and how to package that together to fit the message that the commanders want. And that is incredibly important right now in this battlefield that we are facing overseas. So students start in a crawl, walk, run phase, and then they start with just an audio story, you know, simple. And then by the end, they have a full-fledged packet that is complete with graphics and messaging.
That's really amazing. So what kind of, they create this full-fledged package at the end. What is the content of that package? Is it just geared towards a military subject? What is it?
So right now we are very highly focused on strategic messaging. It is 100% about making sure that the videos comply with that command messaging, commander's intent, and they are learning how how to optimize that. But not only that, but they're not just putting a video out for whoever wants to pick it up. They're strategically choosing their audience so that they can package it better and get more views.
And that's such a big part of everything we do, is making sure that the audience that you've selected is right for the project and right for the product that you're creating, and making sure the students understand that starts in MCF and then continues in IMMC. So that's really great. How long is the course right now?
It is 7 weeks, just about, give or take, depending on the training days.
Okay.
Then the first 2 weeks are kind of overloaded with classes where they learn these skills. And then the following 4 to 5 weeks is just hardcore. They're out there shooting. They're in the field. They're using this equipment. And they're getting better and better to the products that when we show people that the new students coming in, we show them, like, here's a product from last class. And they're like, oh, I'm never going to be able to accomplish that. Like, that looks like something I'd see on Netflix. And we're like, you're all going to do it. Every one of you is going to walk out of here with that skill.
Just wait. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. So having been an instructor over there for a little while now, what kind of key strategies, teaching strategies, and teaching tips do you utilize when you're teaching the IMMC students?
I think that the biggest thing right now, I mean, other than the fact that they come in with the basic skills, but I think the biggest thing that they're learning right now over there is the messaging. Mm-hmm. That is so important. And the military is undergoing change right now, and we have to be in front of that change. Gone are the days of, that's a cool story, I should cover it. Instead, they are strategically learning as military communicators why they need to cover it. Even if they should cover it, there are some things going on that we just don't need to cover. We don't need to waste our resources, right? If we can't do these stories, our future jobs become obsolete. So it's important that we're sending them out there, learning how to package that up into a strategic message. And I mean, the talent that they have. Let's just talk about that. These students that come in, they don't realize most of the time how much talent they actually have. So that, I think, is the biggest thing also that they are learning besides the messaging, is what they're capable of.
And what is it about you as an instructor you think that helps these students? Because we're all different and we all have our experiences that help us. And you are so vastly experienced in so many different places. What is it about your teaching skills you think that helps these students?
Well, I mean, for me, I'm the energy in the class, right? I'm the enthusiasm. I say that I kind of take their energy and I use it to stay young because I'm, you know, getting on in years. So, but they're keeping me there, kind of like a succubus. But for me, it's just, I try to use the experience that I have. I have 17 years in the Army in uniform, and I have almost 13 years as a GS civilian before I joined the Army in public affairs. I try to take that, and especially like the way that the career field has changed in almost 35 years, and give them that experience. So other than that, that's really all I personally have. It's my team that is absolutely amazing. I mean, you have Matt Cromer over there that has forgotten more about video than most of us will ever even know in our entire lives.
Yeah, he's exceptionally talented.
I mean, you have Mr. DeGrosa, who has, you know, a 20-year career in civilian journalism. You know, you can't replace that. Mm-hmm. I am challenging anybody to go into a college where they're in film school, where they are not going to learn as much from those two professionals as they will here.
How do you adapt your own personal teaching strategies from having been a foundational skills instructor to now into the more advanced stuff? How have you changed and adapted?
Well, I think in the field, no two students learn the same, right? So, and I love that. I love that our students are all completely different and come with a variety of skill levels. We've had people that have gone to film school, and then we've had civilians who have never even picked up a camera before. So some are visual, some are hands-on, some need to do it wrong to do it right, right? I think for me, I've adapted because I try to use that blended teaching approach. You know, I don't just, okay, here's the class, now go out and do it. You know, we break it down. We get our hands on it. We do practice exercises, group critiques. I think the big thing for me is just I have a lot of energy. I have that nice hyperactive, you know, energy. And I just don't let them stop. I don't let them quit until they figure it out and get it right.
How many instructors are on the team over there?
We have 4.
Okay, great.
We are bringing on a new one because he will be my replacement soon.
He has not
gone to ITC or anything like that yet, but I have great high hopes for him. I actually knew him back when he was a private coming through DINFOS the first time. I worked with him, so I've known him for 15 years probably. Jeez. And I mean, he's great. He's a great kid. I don't want to give his like information out too much yet, just in case they end up taking him away from us before he actually incorporates. But right now we have four. We have two military, two civilian. We also have Marine Sergeant Edwards.
That's great.
Who was honor grad in this class when she came through. And when Mr. Cromer and Mr. DeGrosa found out she was coming here, they pulled her. And oh, wow. What a good choice. What a talent.
Where are they stealing you away to?
I'm going to the Pentagon.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Good for you.
I'll be the Army advisor for the Pentagon for DMA. So
that's amazing. Congratulations.
It's a 45-minute train ride every morning, and I'm not looking forward to it.
And probably a 45-minute walk through the whole building.
Yes.
From what I understand, it's a little bit hard to get around. But you'll have a good time. We'll be happy to have you for the rest of the time that you're here. What are some of the things, can you tell us like examples from what the students have done that you're proud of, or some things that you've seen that are especially great, things they've created, or ways that you've seen the light bulb come on, that kind of thing?
Well, there's been a shift, right? So with the new administration, we've taken out DEI products from our previous products, which we had a lot of very personal stories from the students, because the very first four stories that they do are on themselves as a class. So I think what I really love is seeing who they are before we, you know, really get to know them. We found out this really deep, amazing things about them, you know, and then we get to know who they are as people afterwards. So I think some of the best products that they do are the ones they do on themselves, figuring out who they are, what's changed in their lives. We're a little more hesitant now with the removal of DEI, so there's a lot of things they can't talk about. So they're having to dig a little deeper, and that's good, you know, that's fine. But just finding out who they are, finding these stories and seeing them understand who they are or why they are the way that they are is incredibly moving. More so than I think even just their stories where they go out and find someone.
Yeah. What storytelling techniques do you guys focus on that you think are important for the students?
Change. I believe that the biggest impact to their stories is that we focus on change. Something that has happened in their life where they were a person or their subject was a certain person or on a certain path, and then something happened and now complete, you know, 180. Now they're doing something completely different. They veered to the left, and how that changed them as a person. The number one thing that makes us successful is the challenges that we've overcome in our life. So when we focus on that in storytelling, it really resonates, and it really allows us to open up and see the people that they're studying.
Absolutely. You know, every great story has that conflict and resolution, and making sure they continue to focus on that is vital, because that's the kind of thing that we have to share, that our service members go through to the American public. Tell me more about the technology you guys have, because I'm endlessly fascinated watching you play with it. So tell us more for even the folks who might be going through or the uninitiated, what kind of cool toys you guys get to play with. Tell me more about that.
So we have a couple. I mean, you know, we have our cameras and computers and editing systems, which are almost the same as MCF, just a little bit more advanced, not too much different. So they'll come in and they'll already know how to use their equipment. They are allowed to bring their own cameras. They are allowed to bring their own computers.
Interesting.
If they have something that their unit is specifically working with and they want to get better on that camera, they are allowed to bring their own. They do not have to use our DINFO's equipment. But they will have to use a jib, a slider, a gimbal, and also a track and dolly system, which the track and dolly system is kind of the newest piece of equipment that we have. You program it like a computer, and it moves and starts and stops where you want it to. So it's incredibly evolved. Like it's amazing. It really elevates their stories into looking like almost Hollywood type
sure.
type stories, rather than the, you know, tripod and the, you know, monopod.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got students that are shooting steadier shots. We've got students that are able to utilize motion in a very steady way, in a very professional looking way. And they're able to utilize their own equipment. So if they happen to have technology that's slightly more advanced than the government equipment we have, they can utilize that as well. So they're really producing this high quality professional video from the technology that we have and the information that we give them, which is amazing at the end of the day. The products they create are incredible.
Yeah. And if you add the lighting, the techniques that they're learning, the transitions that they're learning, how sound and music really influences and tones, it really creates amazing products.
What kind of specific teaching techniques does your team use to get this stuff across? Is there particular things that you guys do, or is there a particular exercise where you're like, oh, I know we do it this way and it works really, really well?
Well, like I said, we use that blended teaching approach, right? Okay. So we use visual demos, practical exercises, group critiques, one-on-one coaching. Of course, my specialty, humor, is in there. Our goal is to meet them where they are and just kind of guide them, not just compliance, right? We're trying to get them towards mastery. So we also start with an assessment test to see mm-hmm. where everyone is beginning at. So we know kind of like where they think they are compared to, and we try to team up the students that are at a higher level according to the assessment test with the students that are at a lower level. So they also have peer-to-peer coaching mm-hmm. at that time. It's important because we're trying to develop those communicators that operate under pressure, and that starts with training them in a way that actually sticks. So it's super important to make sure that they are being met in every single level, not just, okay, we're going to show you this class, you're going to go out and do it, or, you know, this is how you do it, I'm going to show you one time, you're going to go out. Like, it's definitely blended. Mr. DeGrosso, one of our contractors, is exceptionally good at seeing who is struggling and who needs extra help, and that's like his super secret talent. So he manages to, like, without anybody really knowing, he manages to pick out those students and make sure that they're getting the extra push and things that they might need.
That's great. I want to focus a little bit deeper on one of the things that you noted, which is that you incorporate both the narrative and the non-narrative projects in what you guys do, which is, you know, something that's important to differentiate between, you know, your standard narrative project people might think of as a news story or something along those lines, or even a feature story. But then there's those traditional documentary style non-narrative pieces that you do. So can you kind of discuss the importance of teaching both of those skill sets?
Of course. Both formats kind of serve their own purpose, as you said, and our students need to be fluent in both. That's what it boils down to. Narrative formats are powerful tools for building connection and humanizing the uniform, and it helps us tell the military story through, like, emotion, experience, relatability. But non-narrative formats like PSAs, motion graphics, quick hit social videos, things like that, they're essential. They deliver clear, concise messaging fast, and especially powerful in campaigns, mm-hmm. things like that. Our students have to learn when they evoke emotion or when to get straight to the point. Like, there is definitely a tie for both. That's that strategic messaging I was talking about, understanding commander's intent, right? One focuses on one thing, one focuses on the other. But having both types in the classroom challenges them to master the art of storytelling and also the science of strategic messaging. Essentially, it makes the commuter understand, or the communicator understand, the impact of what they're trying to produce.
Another thing that it's important for them to understand is the technological aspect of what we do, right? So you noted that this is a more advanced course and that students have to come in with a basic level of proficiency in certain things. And one of those skill sets that we require is that they are proficient in things like Premiere, Adobe Audition, After Effects, those kinds of things. How do you guys integrate those tools into your curriculum? And for any prospective students coming in, what do you suggest they do ahead of time to make sure they're proficient enough to be successful in your course?
Well, the Adobe Editing Suite is essential because in this field, our software is our weapon system, right? Just like we need to qualify with our rifle, we have to have our communicators be proficient with the software. It's not optional. It's essential to telling the stories effectively and professionally. And when our students understand how to use these tools together, they can produce content that's engaging and mission ready. So if they do not have a basic understanding, which, you know, MCF should give you that, but then if you haven't maybe practiced it in 10 years, there's all kinds of online programs through lynda.com. There's different things that they can do that for free, that or their unit can send them out to, like, different classes mm-hmm. to get there. But you have to have that basic understanding or you'll be so far behind. You'll be so worried about the editing portion that there just won't be enough time in your day to do the shooting and exercises with the equipment that you need.
Yeah.
This world right now is digital communication is being driven. So you have to master those tools because we don't want to be part of the conversation. We want to be leading it. And if you don't have that skill set when you get here, you'll flounder.
You know, having been a military communicator for so long, you have a unique perspective on the career field as it has been, as it is now, and where it's going to, I think. So as you look ahead at the future of communications and we talk about the digital environment, what do you think this looks like as we move forward? What do you think these projects that the students are creating are going to look like? How do you think the technology is going to improve? What do you think the future kind of looks like?
I truly believe that the next battlefield is going to be fought over public opinion. We see it every day, right? You can have one person on social media put something out that nobody thought about yesterday, and now it's the topic of conversation all over the world. That puts our communicators in the front lines. We literally are the most, to me, important part of this military right now. I used to do an exercise with when I was a civilian at the Joint Readiness Training Center at Fort Polk, Louisiana, where when rotational units preparing for Afghanistan would come into a mock-up village, they would behave a certain way. However they behaved is the story that I would put out that day. I would put out a video news story, I would put out a radio news story, and then I would also do a written story in the, you know, rotational newspaper. Whatever they were doing would depend, whatever story I put out, whether it was positive or negative, would depend on how all of the role players would then treat the people the next day. That's cause and effect, right? If they came in and they're pushing people around and being rude and running over their plants and things like that, the next day when they would come in, there'd be protests, there'd be people throwing, you know, dirt at them, there'd be all these things. That's that cause and effect that we are responsible for. I was trying to teach them that if you do the right thing and people cover it correctly, you'll see a positive change. When you come in the next day, they'll invite you in for tea. They'll, you know, invite you in to have a sandwich. They'll do, you know, be happy to see you and wave to you. And if you do the wrong thing, we'll cover that appropriately. And then they'll be hostile towards you. So I think that our communicators are going to have to learn strategic messaging above everything else. They're going to have to figure out commander's intent, what that commander wants to put out and why, and then be able to focus and hone their stories to make the public be on their side. Otherwise, we're going to lose them.
That's, you know, you're so right. And it's interesting that you brought that up, because regardless of whatever happens technologically, the human aspect of communications and how we relate to other people will always be at the forefront of successful communications. And it doesn't matter where it's coming from. You know, you have to make sure that your messaging, you know, the why of it is always important, but the way that you relate it to people to be accepted appropriately is incredibly important. And that's a big part of what we do as communicators. So thanks for touching on that. What kind of feedback do you see from your students when they end up coming through the course and they say how it was?
Oh, they love it.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't imagine they don't.
We were just actually discussing this yesterday. We've never had a discipline issue in our class.
That's amazing.
Ever. Like, someone was saying something about having to write up a student, and we've never had to, other than like maybe, you know, you didn't bring a piece of equipment in, or you were, you know, 10 minutes late to class. We've never had an instance where a student has had a negative behavioral counseling in our program. And we have instructors that have been there for years and never had that. And the reason why is because they're passionate about this class. They're passionate about what they're doing. The excitement is there. And sometimes you haven't seen that joy and that excitement since they were babies in MCF, right? Before they became all jaded from the career field. So they come in and they're just so happy. And then they're so excited to share products with us after they've left us. They're so excited to let us know they got into Syracuse or they got into film school using, you know, the products or the skills that they learned in this class. So it's incredibly rewarding to see the passion that they have. And then not only that, but to see how they progress when they leave here. And they're sharing those skills too, right? They're going back to their units and they're sharing those skills and making their subordinates better.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite thing is seeing when our students show up on awards list for, you know, best whatever in the Navy or best such and such in the Army. That, you know, fills me with joy every time. So
I actually have a student in our class right now who was my MCF video student, right? I taught him video back in MCF. And this year he is DMA's newest video writing and photographer of the year.
Jeez.
And now he's in my class learning how to go even further.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
That's incredible.
Maybe we get some talented people through here. what other kind of success stories can you share? Is there anything that stands out in particular from a student who left and got back to you and was like, oh, I did this amazing project, or I ended up doing this incredible thing?
I can actually give you an excellent example. Even though I am the newest member of the team, I have one story that makes me smile whenever I think about it. My teammate, as I said earlier, Sergeant Edwards, was honor grad of IMMC, right? As a baby Marine, she took the course, kicked a serious butt, and just had like oodles of talent. And when she received orders for DINFOS, she reached out to the team and they snapped her up, brought her onto the team to teach the course. And now she's using all of that talent, knowledge, passion to teach the same skills she honed while she was in the course, and is absolutely amazing. Our students love her and are just crazy about her talent.
That's great. My favorite thing is when students come back as instructors. I only have one here. Shout out to Sergeant Brendan Leger, who's in our VizDoc course.
Oh, I love Sergeant Leger.
He's the best. Yeah, he was one of my students. The first one to come back. I hope more of them do if they're listening. What other kind of emerging trends or technologies do you see coming up that are going to affect our kind of career field? And how do you stay current with that stuff?
AI.
Yeah,
it's sure. It's going to be AI, right? I think that right now, AI is going to change our career field dramatically. It already has started to, but it's going to, I think in the next 5 years, it's going to look totally different than what it looks like now. Not only producing AI, but recognizing AI. That's going to be an incredibly important part of our communicators, because while we are trying to push out positive stories and positive messaging, our, you know, not so friendly adversaries are going to be trying to push it the opposite direction. And people are going to be hard pressed to understand which products are ours and which products are theirs, because they're going to look the same. Yeah. And they're going to sound the same, right? Because that's what AI does. It can latch on to our messaging and latch on to our words and the tones and recreate that. So I think that if you want to be successful in this field in the future, you are going to have to master AI. And there are programs out there right now that will allow you to do that. The military is starting an AI team that you'll be able to join if it's something that you're interested in. I think that is where the future of communications is.
There is a terrifying product that I will not mention by name, because I don't want to give it any more press because it terrifies me. But there is a terrifying product that we have access to here at the schoolhouse that is AI-based and will do some incredible things, but it will allow you to do something like take the notes about an interview and put it into this computer system, and it will create a podcast for you with two AI voices having a conversation about the content that you inputted. And it sounds 95% perfect. If you know what you're listening to, you can tell. But if you don't, you don't. And it's terrifying. It scares me so much. I think you're 100% right. And I think that recognizing that, you know, Adobe is working hard to make sure that their photos and things that are created by AI are labeled correctly and kind of creating a large form industry standard for things like that. I think that discovering what's AI and making sure it's labeled correctly is going to be a hard road ahead, but that's something that we definitely have to latch on to.
Mm-hmm. I think the other major shift besides AI is our real-time storytelling. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to go away from more long-term, like long-form videos, and I think we're definitely going to start live streaming, producing same-day edits, mm-hmm. things like that. I think that's where the other shift is going to be. Speed and accuracy are going to be mission essential in the upcoming future, especially with attention spans and with the ability that our adversaries have to get messages out before we do.
And you know, that's what we did. Not to play the old man card, but that's what we did 20 years ago when I came through. You know, all of the AFNs were producing nightly newscasts, and we had two different nightly newscasts that we produced. So every day we were going out and shooting a 2 minute, 2.5 minute package, putting it together, shooting voiceovers and getting B-roll and doing all that stuff, same day production and same day content creation. And going back to that is definitely something I think we're going to see, like you said, because we need to have that real time emergence of our information to combat what our adversaries are doing. And it needs to look professional. It needs to be created well. It needs to tell an appropriate story.
And the good news is that with AI, that can assist us because it can streamline that post-production workflow that have going on right now. So like think auto transcription, smart tagging, instant rough cuts. They're going to allow communication to focus more on the story and messaging and less on mechanical editing. So that will save us some time. So there's good and bad things with the AI.
For sure. I wish Gmail would stop telling me to use Gemini. I do wish that. besides that, what do you hope students take away from IMMC? What is the biggest thing that you hope that they leave with?
That's tough. I hope students leave the course with more than just technical skills. I want them to walk away with confidence, with purpose, with a sense of pride in what they do. I want them to know how to shoot, edit, mix, design, and produce across multiple platforms. But more importantly, I want them to understand why it matters. I want them to leave knowing that their voice has power, that their work has influence, whether it's boosting morale, preserving history, shaping the public perception of our men and women. On a personal level, I just want them to grow. I want them to grow as teammates, leaders, lifelong learners. This course isn't just about the mechanics, right, or making a video. It's about making a professional who's ready to lead the information battle space. And I want them to have pride in that.
Yeah, and I think they do from everything I've seen. Is there anything else that you want to share with our audience about your experiences as a communicator or as an instructor or anything you want prospective students to know?
Sure. If there's one thing that I would want people to understand about military communicators, it's that we do more than carry cameras, right? We carry stories. And these stories are amazing. They're of resilience, love, loss, change, everything in between. It's about giving people a voice that don't feel seen. That's a big one for me. Capturing moments that would be forgotten if we weren't there. We do know that what we are creating could be the last image a family ever sees of their loved one, right? It carries an importance. And it upsets me when people think public affairs is just like, you know, this piddly little, you know, oh yeah, they're public affairs. No, we are so important. And that's what I would want people to understand about being a communicator. I always say it's not about teaching our students these skills, right? It's about passing the torch. I want them to do great things. I want them to do better things than I've done, right? I want them to win Emmy Awards and Telly Awards. And I want them to walk away from this career field with pride, knowing that they've done absolutely incredible things. I always like to say I've been in front of the camera. I've been behind the mic. I've been behind the camera. And now I just feel like I'm behind the students trying to push them to a better place, something that's bigger than us. And I want them to be as grateful as I am to be a part of it.
Absolutely. That's well said. Thank you, Staff Sergeant. Last question, famous DINFOS last question before I let you go. Is there anything else you want to add maybe that we forgot to ask you?
I would just like to say that teaching at DINFOS is an absolutely amazing experience. And if you are someone in this career field that has skills, that has passion for the job, come here. We need you, right? We need people that love what they do and are willing to be able to share that with the next generation so that when we go, the career field is not only as good, but better.
So 100%. Thank you so much, Staff Sergeant. I appreciate your time today. I think that you were able to tell us some amazing things about the IMMC course and about yourself that our audience is really going to appreciate. So thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you
and
for having
good
me.
Luck at the Pentagon.
Ugh, don't remind me.
Well, hopefully we'll talk to you again, Staff Sergeant. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.